Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. I'm Helen Corsi Cadmore, an award-winning business growth specialist, coach and consultant, and a mum to twin girls. My podcast is about having honest conversations with busy, ambitious females about growing your business to have a better balanced life and, of course, avoiding burnout. If you enjoy this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. So welcome to another episode of Fabulous and Female. And this week is my wonderful guest, Gemma Pugh. Gemma is another fellow Welshie, so I'm obviously really excited to talk to another Welshie. First and foremost, though, Gemma is a mother to Thomas and Mason, who are aged 11 and 9, and is a wife to the wonderful Richie. But at the end of December 2020, Gemma created a supportive and inspiring community for women called Fiercely Fit. Until September 2021, Gemma was head of science at a local Welsh medium comprehensive, a job which she actually loved. However, the wonderful pandemic and lockdown one gave her the opportunity to massively reflect on life. By taking daily morning walks, which we all were allowed to do for that short time, listening to podcasts, which brought her to the realization that a big passion of hers actually laid in helping other busy women unlock their true potential and to live their best lives through fitness and simple, healthy habits. So I'm delighted to have Gemma talk to us a little bit about a transition from being in a job that she loved to where she is now and being this fantastic facilitator of this wonderful fitness community. So welcome, lovely Gemma.
Oh, thanks for that intro, Helen. I love that.
Oh, do you know what? It's always like the corporate sort of bio. Like, right, let's get all the details
different.
Down. And then, yeah, and then we just go into normal life reality. And before we press record on this, we would, Gemma said, I've got somebody in the background, somebody who said now. And I was like, oh, a little Waffle, the dog. And we said, you know, he's only a year. And I was saying, my Stan is 12. And I said, oh, do you love him? And I love that you were so honest. Your face said it all. You're like, yes and no.
Having a dog is harder than having children.
You know what?
What a commitment.
So is. And interesting, right? So what, just to talk about dogs, you know, I love dogs. So what is it though about the commitment of having a dog that's more difficult than kids?
Yeah, I don't know. Like children, I don't know. I obviously really wanted children. I was a bit on the edge with having a dog. I guess my children are older now, so I've got a bit of my freedom back until we had Waffle.
And it all starts over, doesn't it? Yeah. So really, anyone that's thinking of getting a dog, it's, yeah. Before I had my twins, I remember thinking like Stan was the hardest thing in the world. I was like rushing back to, you know, make sure I got back to walk him, to feed him, make sure he's going out. And oh God, now I'm the opposite. Now I'd love just to have Stan as my, right. Okay. So a little bit of candid honesty there from Gemma. So welcome Gemma anyway to the Fabulous Female podcast.
Thanks.
And I just want to get your, take on, obviously we just did the bio about the corporate bio, but tell me a little bit more about Gemma Pugh the person.
So Gemma Pugh the person, yeah, so you've summed up in terms of mother of two, and I think that is my priority, being a mum and trying to be a good mum. I think we all as mums always feel like we're not getting it right, and I think we're quite hard on ourselves. And the mum guilt, I know I'm talking to all of my girls, mum guilt gets us all, doesn't it? So the first, that is my main thing about trying to be a good mum. And within that then is trying to help other mums realise that they need to drop the mum guilt. And that it's okay to spend time on you. And it's more than okay. It's essential that we spend that quality time on us alone without any guilt, because that makes us better mums.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or our children then. And that's kind of where Fiercely Fit stemmed from. So before lockdown and my realization, fitness has always been my therapy.
Yeah, amazing.
I always loved exercising, found it difficult when the boys came along because I had a husband who worked away. I created a community back then called This Mam Can, which was a free Facebook group to try and do it similar to what we do in Fiercely Fit, to let mums know that you can exercise without the guilt. Fast forward to the pandemic, I was working full-time as head of science in a local comprehensive. And I was super lucky that I had a positive lockdown experience. I know that's not the case for everyone. And I feel really sorry for those that had really difficult times, whether they were working in the NHS or had family members that got struck down badly by COVID. But for me, it was...
Or being a new mum.
A
week before the pandemic.
Oh my word.
I'm laughing now, but yeah.
Yeah, so you did that alone. So we obviously had completely different experiences. So for me, my husband, who was working away all the time, was home. He was furloughed. I, as a teacher, so I was head of science at the time, teaching that first lockdown had not caught up with technology. So I was really fortunate. I had a team of 9 staff. So I would delegate out work to everyone. We would upload our work in the night, and then I got to spend all day with my children. And crucially, every morning I went on a walk on my own.
Yes.
And that was my time to stop. The first time sitting, how old was my eldest then? 8, 9 years, where I stopped, I paused, I took a breath.
Amazing.
And I realized, Gem, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'd been on this path, this narrow path. I was following. All these promotions were coming my way in work. I was taking them. I was young. I was eager. But I wasn't really thinking beyond this narrow path of what society thought was meant for me. So Gemma Poo then got herself back.
Yes.
And I found who I was and what my real passion was. And I was lucky. Right time, right place. COVID really worked for me, the timings of everything. And fast forward, here we are, Fiercely Fit.
Do you know what? We're going to go into that a lot, but I would love to just take a couple of steps back there. Isn't it interesting that you said like what the society and the norm thinks we should be doing? And you know, like you said, you were young, you were grabbing all these opportunities to, you know, get up in work and actually enjoy it. And the thing is, a good thing for you, you didn't hate your job, so it wasn't as if you were like looking to leave as such, but it was an opportunity came your way. Why is it though, do you think, that as, and I'm gonna say this, especially as women, we feel the need to be this like person of being, you know, doing all the things and always like high achieving. Why do we do that?
I think, you know, especially when you become a mum, you feel like you have to be the best at your job, the best mother, the best wife, all these different hats you need, feel like you need to be the best when actually we don't. Why do we? I guess that's society again, isn't it?
That you're
meant to have it all. And I don't think social media helps when everyone's posting these lovely photos of them, the kids, the World Book Day with the amazing outfits and all these things. I'm like, oh my word, is it World Book Day?
My goodness. Right. Can we just talk about that? Because if you have got children, you'll know that it's very, very stressful. All of these things all the time in school, do this. And I get World Book Day, right, is fantastic. It's actually one of the ones that I get why it's done, because we're very fortunate. My kids have got a bookshelf with loads of books on. They actually don't like reading. That's something I'm working on. So I'm like, all these lovely books, don't bloody read them. They're there. But actually, God, today and last night, I'm in this group for nursery for the girls, and there was all these pictures being put in of all their children really dressed up, right? And they looked bloody amazing. Do you know what my girls went in today?
Come on, Helen.
Bella went in a Spanish dress-up dress. I am not Spanish. I'm like, you know, a bit of Italian in me. And Sophia went in with her Poppy from Trolls dress. They're not.
I'm sure there's a Trolls book.
And
I'm sure there's a Spanish book.
Well, the story behind it, right? So James took them in. So my husband took them in, and the teacher said, "Oh, what have you come in as today, Bella?" And James went, "A character from a Spanish book." what the hell? And I was like, oh, do you know what? And I was just like, looking at all these lovely, lovely pictures of all these children come through on the WhatsApp group. And I was like, no, I am not doing this. And I am not conforming.
I think that's it, because, you know, we ultimately, there are pressures out there, yeah, and we can decide whether we let them get to us or not.
Yeah.
So that's, I know it. My youngest tomorrow is probably going to go in a rugby kit, and there are lots of rugby books out there.
Exactly right. And I know one of the mums has spent a fortune on Vinted, buying all this, oh, it's okay, Vinted, you know, this secondhand and stuff. But still, you're still spending money for what's going to be ruined in nursery. I'm not doing it. So it's interesting you said that about social, because as we know, very recently, social's disappeared for, a couple of hours. I didn't even notice, to be honest. I don't spend my life on socials, but a lot of people do. And actually, God, going back 20 years ago, you know, when I'm 43 next month, like 20 years ago, they weren't really around.
No, they weren't.
They weren't. Like, were they even around then? I didn't even know. But they weren't around. So I think you're right there. The pressure now that we, and this is the thing, right? We bring this pressure into our world. If we're on social media,
we're guilty of it, aren't we? I'm guilty of it.
We allow it. Yeah, we allow it. But yeah, so it's so interesting. So I want to go back a bit again. So when you were going on these daily walks, and I love the fact you said on your own, like on your own, your time for Gemma. Tell me about that moment when you just went, do you know what? I'm going to do this.
So it was a series of things. So I started listening. I discovered Dr. Chatterjee, who I love.
Oh, love Dr. Chatterjee. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's changed my life. Honest now, my mindset, and you know, people say you can change. I am a different person to what I was 3 years ago, from just being open and listen to other people's opinions. There's a wealth of knowledge out there on podcasts, like yours, Helen.
Thanks. Yes.
And I discovered on his podcast then someone called Peter Crone.
Okay.
He's known as the mind architect. And there were loads of things that he said, but do you know, one of my biggest discoveries, and this kind of links back to that society norm, was judgment.
Oh yeah.
I was so judgmental of others, and even more so judgmental of myself. That was a huge thing.
Judgment,
massive. And that Peter Crone, listened to his podcast, really made me get out of that and realize, do you know what? And one thing he says is that if you, so I was quite judgmental of people quite close to me. And he said, if you were to live their life exactly the way they had, so gone through all their experiences from birth through childhood, through adulthood, you would respond and react exactly the same as them. So if you've got anyone in your life where they just, you know, they get to you.
If you just listen to this on audio, Gemma's like, gritting her teeth. They're like, clenching her fists there. Get it? Yeah.
I've got a not very pleasant neighbour at the moment, so I'm trying to remind myself this. So if you were to live their life exactly as they had, you would respond the same as them. So they're responding due to their personal experiences and their backgrounds, and it's not necessarily their fault for the way they're behaving. So it's that understanding, and then going towards it with some love and compassion and empathy to their situation, and realizing it's not a reflection on you, it's a reflection on them. And then that has helped me stop being judgmental of others.
Yeah.
And also then to not be so harsh on myself with all society norms. So
Do you know what? That's so relevant. And it's one of the things that, as a coach as well, I work with a lot of my clients on, because we can't control other people's thoughts. We absolutely can't. And whatever society, their values, their beliefs, normally the things that we think and we believe in have come from childhood. We've got no control over that. And it's none of my business, really, what other people think. Yeah. That's something that I massively relate to that.
It's still hard though, isn't it?
Oh, it's bloody hard.
I love people, and I find it hard when they don't like me.
God. Yeah.
I find it really hard, but that's something I'm working on.
Who doesn't love you? This is the thing though, right? We can't, and it's like old saying, isn't it? You can't, not everyone can love you or like you.
Yeah.
You know, that's
not
up
everyone's
to them.
Cup of tea,
that one, that's it. Where am I going with that? Yeah, so self-judgment is huge. And the one thing I would say on that as well is I've massively learned, and I like you said, I still do it now. We're not bloody perfect, are we? But stop being so hard on ourselves all the time.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. It's so, so big. And how much energy are we wasting
Yeah.
by thinking of this, like, you know, do they like me? Do I like them? No.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So talk me through then. So when you listened to that episode and you thought, right, okay, yeah, this is where I want to see things go in. What made you take that?
I think that started planting the seeds, just listening to these different things. And then I think being outdoors. So I've never avoided being outdoors, but I realized I didn't really embrace the outdoors. And just so I think March, we went into lockdown, didn't we? Mm. And I live near, you might be familiar with it, Helen, a beautiful gardens called Klein Gardens.
Gorgeous.
And
yeah.
I would walk through there. And then around May time, so during lockdown still now, just it started to bloom. Yeah. And the bluebells were the first thing that struck me. And I was like, oh my word, how have I never, ever noticed this? Been living here for a few years. I know.
What?
And I think if you're a teacher, so coming from a teacher, May is the most stressful time because the exams are about to start. You're trying to finish courses, marking coursework. So I never used to step foot out of the house. So I think that connection with nature was massive. And wanting then to be outdoors. Mm. These little seeds have been planted. I then read a book by Vex King called Good Life, Good Vibes, or Good Vibes, Good Life. Mm. The first three quarters was all right, but the last quarter was all about going for it. And the realization came, okay, look, what is your passion? I just love exercise. I've in the past tried to delve into it thinking I'm going to do my level two, but never got around to it. So during lockdown then, when we went back to school, that just the summertime, and it was hell on earth. I had five pupils in a classroom with me, and then I had cameras on me with other classrooms watching me, with teachers in those classrooms and all these cameras. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
So during that time, I was like, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my level two. So started doing that. Then I had loads of friends who wanted to be guinea pigs to do personal training. We kind of came out with that lockdown. So I was doing personal training with them. Then we hit that Christmas lockdown.
Oh, God,
I don't know if you remember, of 2020.
I do.
I know. It's funny.
I remember crying a lot.
Yeah. I bet. You just see freedom. Like mum, freedom. Friends. No, and then you
Christmas with family. No.
So that one of my PT clients said, Gemma, why don't you go online? And I'm like, I'm not going to go online. There's so much out there online already.
What is this online?
Yeah. Anyway, I did. And within the first week, I had 30 women signed up to do my classes. I was doing three classes a week. So Fiercely Fit, the name didn't exist then. It was like, oh, okay. I've got these women who want to train with me. No, it was just an idea that let's get some fitness going.
Yeah.
And then I think the Vex King thing was in my head where he was just, you know, go for it, manifest it, believe in yourself. And go for it. I've got a very supportive husband who, despite his job not being secure, like a teaching job, he said he would support me, whatever my decision. And things just kept growing. So we did come up with a brand name then, Fiercely Fit started. But the vision was that I drop a day in every year in work, I drop a day and try and build Fiercely Fit. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And then, so that vision was in March and February.
Yeah.
Then by March, we were still in lockdown at this point. I had 90 women signed up.
Incredible.
Online.
Timing though as well, right? So fitness industry, people Christmas,
wanted something. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So we had 90 women signed up by March. Things were going brilliant. I was head of science in school and I thought, I can't do both. It's not fair on the school. It's not fair on these women.
Yeah.
So
and not fair on you either.
Right? Not fair on me.
Yeah. You forgot the most important person. Yeah. Not fair on you.
So I went to my head and asked, can I drop a day and keep head of science? So he agreed. And then 2 weeks went by and I was like, I still can't do this. I think it was over Easter holidays then. I was having time to reflect. Just before Easter holidays, I went in and I said, can I drop a day and drop head of science? So he's like, yeah, he agreed. Then Easter holidays, then I was like, this is it, the crunch.
Yeah.
I read the book again. I read the book for a second time, The Vex King, and Rich agreed with me. So I went in, knocked my head's door, and happened to be my deputy, my head was sat there, and they were like, oh no, we know what
you're
going to
say.
And I was like, yeah. And that's
Do you know
it.
What, though, to fair play to have as well, you know, fortunate to have a supportive school, they're allowed you to yeah. drop those days and absolutely, you know, support you in your outside yeah. of work goal.
And I, you know, I did, and I do, I'm still in contact with them. I have had a lush supportive group.
Yeah.
And there's not many physics, Welsh-speaking physicists out there. So I think they didn't want to lose me because of that as well.
Oh, my God. I can imagine. Like, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but like when I was in school, it was just double science. And it wasn't the separation in my school anyway.
That's what we did, double science.
Yeah, double science. But there wasn't even like, you know, what is it? Biology, chemistry, physics.
Oh, they taught them all together.
Even, yeah, it was just one. Mm. And now I really... didn't like science.
Sorry,
Jim. But I think it comes down to the teacher and my teachers. Well, anyway, I'm coming to where my teachers in high school would be all day. Right, so you decided that's it, I'm done with the teaching. Okay, that's a huge change, right? Going from having massive. The stable income, the security,
yeah,
you know.
A manager telling me what to do.
Telling me what to do. Your routine, just gone. And it's a choice that you made, which has obviously turned out to be very successful.
Yeah.
What are, in that transition period, is there anything you think, oh my God, what would I have done differently?
I'm not someone to dwell on the past, you know. I think everything worked the way it did, and I'm so thankful for all that, just timing and the women around me, the support, my husband, family. I don't think I'd do anything different. I did struggle. So the first that first week when the kids went back to school, and the first time ever I didn't go back to school, and I sat in this room in silence. Now, considering I've been a teacher all my life where you never get silence in the school, no. I was like, what have
What's
I done?
Going
what
on?
Do I do?
I'm like, that must have been such a strange feeling.
Really?
What
really
did you
strange.
Do?
I did cry a bit. I was like, oh my word, what have I done? I am an open book. So I reached out to some friends. I'm like, I need a chat.
So they would
reassure me. And I soon built up my calendar and things were busy.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I'd love that time now.
Hang on a minute. We'll come on to that in a bit. But that realization of just having what you've actually, the reason you left to have that option of being able to sit in silence must have been massive, actually. And I think we often take things like that for kind of, not for granted, but when you actually get what you've set out to achieve, it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh shit, right, I've actually got this now. What am I going to do with it? And have I made the right decision?
Yeah.
You know, was there ever a point where you thought, oh, I need to go back. I need to go back.
No. Even though I was like, oh my word, what have I done? Yeah. I never thought I want to go back. That sounds awful. I love teaching. I love teaching. But all teachers, I'm sure when I say this, will relate.
Yeah.
It's so tough. And it's so stressful. But again, I know I put that stress on reflecting out the stress on myself. Yourself, and that was coming from me. And I felt like I had to stay in work late every night. And there's probably things I do different now in hindsight. However, it is a very demanding and stressful job. And if teachers didn't have those long holidays, there would be no teachers in the world because they need those holidays.
Yeah.
Just in the defense.
I've got a lot of respect. I've still got a lot of teacher friends, but I've interviewed a few teachers that have actually left careers and gone on to do other things, coaching, stationery, and just gone, do you know what? I've had enough of being that person that is nonstop all the time. So, right. So now you've created this fantastic brand, business, and I am a member. And the reason I wanted to get Gemma on is, which I know I've said this to you, Gemma, but I'll say it to the audience as well. So, recently moved from Cardiff to Swansea, which is not that far. It's like an hour. And I know Swansea like fairly well. We moved here to be with close to James's family and the support. But I felt completely lost when I got here. Situation, I was living with James's nan. We've only just moved into our new house and all of this stuff. And I could not find a gym that was really easily accessible to me, that I liked. And I was like, right, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. And I attended one of your classes and I was just like, oh my God. I feel, and I still feel this now, even though I haven't been this week, but hey ho. I can honestly say this, hands on heart, that what you have created, for somebody that's not from the area, didn't know you from Adam, as it happens, our husbands like know each other when they're like 16 or something. But actually, you have created a community that is welcoming. It feels easy for me to go and do exercise sometimes in the bloody rain. You know, I love it. I was the opposite to you. I've always been outdoors. I've always loved going outdoors, walking, not running, but being out with the dog. You know, loved being outdoors and spent like a lot of time outdoors. And for those I haven't mentioned this now, but you know, most of your classes are outdoors.
Outdoors, yeah. Yes.
Why? Let's talk about that a minute. So why are they mostly outdoors?
Yeah. So that, going back to that initial first lockdown and that time I spent on my morning walks, really opened my eyes to the benefits of being with nature.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's not about running in nature, just being in nature, just go and sit in a park, just be around trees, plants, maybe even hug a tree. I have done that once.
You know,
I got a friend who does it all the time.
It's really, really good for you. My coach always says, I'm just out in nature. And I was like, right, Anne, don't start licking those trees now. Only give them a bit of a hug. But it is really good.
Yeah. And just seeing and feeling the changes of seasons, all these things I experienced in lockdown, that made me think, do you know what? Because my husband spoke to me, oh, maybe you should go inside. The numbers are going down when it's raining. Mm. I was like, no. Because I feel so strong that even being out in the rain, and I've got to say, when we do a class, the classes where it's hammering it down, those are the classes where the women give the biggest cheers because they feel like they've achieved so much that they have worked so hard against all this, whatever nature's throwing at them, and they push
all
through.
All the forces.
And it's just such an invigorating feeling. And a few women were like, oh, I can, but I won't come in the rain. Mm. And then when they've attended that first one, they're like, oh, and they realise what they've been missing out on. And it's something special. And, you know, like this week now, we've been blessed with some lovely sunshine.
Gorgeous.
And then that contrast from the rain and that feeling of I achieved it, to just being out and feeling that sun on your face and just moving the body. And it's just such a lush experience. So we have spoken, I say we, me and Rich. Rich is like, he's really good at just giving ideas and stuff. But I'm like, no, I refuse to go indoors. It's what makes us different. Mm. Like, we have the most beautiful gym.
Yeah.
Nature.
Outside.
Like, it's just so lovely. And, you know, where I live is, we've got, so down a Black Pill, and then we've got Klein Gardens where we go in the summer. And it's, you know, we're just super lucky.
It is. Yeah. And just for those that don't live where we are right now, so Black Pill is an area of Swansea that overlooks the beach. Like, it's just fantastic. It's a lovely space. And Klein Gardens is a beautiful, full of green trees and grass.
Mm. And there's so much science on being with nature and the benefits of being out in nature.
Absolutely.
So much.
Yeah, so much more than we realise, actually. Mm. And if I'm, like, one of my non-negotiables is I go out for a walk, like, every day. Obviously, I go out with a dog, but if I can as well, I'll go on my own. I'm just saying that's, like, set in stone, but pretty much.
But when you can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say 75% of my week is doing that, and the other one is, you know.
I think that's a very good non-negotiable.
Having kids and stuff as well. And also, from a business point of view, right, saving.
Yeah.
You're not paying.
Well, so, I am. I pay for the land. I do pay the council for doing it, but it wouldn't be as much as owning a space. Yeah.
Do you pay for Klein Gardens?
Mm.
What?
I know, which is ridiculous. I know. I won't go into what I'm picking up before class, but.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there we go. Story. That's something I didn't know. That's interesting. Isn't it interesting? The council can get away with that when it's.
Yeah.
You can just go and sit there
and
sit down for free. Hmm. Okay. but ultimately, though, you're still saving money on
gas, electricity, everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rent.
You know, Yeah, 100%. You don't have those operations outgoings, which is fantastic. Okay, so you've created this fantastic community. And tell us about something else that you've just added to your bow that now, you know, you've got this time and it's like, oh, let's just add more stuff. typical entrepreneur.
Yeah, so I think what's been maybe not shocked me about Fiercely Fit, but what has probably overtaken the fitness side of things. I think people come to Fiercely Fit for the fitness, but they stay for the community.
Yeah.
And the community has just been a huge thing. And I'm so grateful for members like yourself, Helen. I've got such an amazing, diverse, highly skilled group of women who, like me when I was teaching, a lot of work in flat out, and the only time they get to themselves is coming to class. And I know they all have hidden passions which they haven't been able to explore. So I thought, so how can we help this current community more to find those passions and then use those passions? Because that's what is really going to feed that soul, isn't it?
Yeah.
So come up with Fiercely Fit Kick, or it's called the Comined Fiercely Fit Kick. Now, a kick is a community interest company.
Yeah.
So it's a not-for-profit business. Mm-hmm. So we essentially apply for grants, and then those grants fund certain events, courses. And the aim is to use our current community, Fiercely Fit, and their skills and passions to then help the wider area to help improve the well-being of wider Swansea, Neath Port Talbot, and maybe beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. When you said about doing this, it's like, all right, I'm just adding more things. But actually,
that's what my husband said.
Yeah, but the benefits that a kick or a community interest can bring is just vast. And, you know, for having somebody like you that's so caring of other people and thinking, what else can I do for them that's actually going to be a not-for-profit is incredible. So, well done.
Oh,
thank you. It's one of the things. So with Fiercely Fit then in the fitness community, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the transition, the benefits of just being outdoors and, you know, not even just as a parent, just as a person, if you're feeling that these four walls are getting to you, one of my top tips, as I've said, have a non-negotiable, right? And bloody get outdoors, change your environment. But I'm sure, and if there's not something like Fiercely Fit in your, in your area, then maybe message Gemma and we can, we can set up a little franchise, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll set something up in there.
That's my dog.
When that's your dog. Say,
oh, Waffle, shall I let her out?
Yeah, go for it. This is, this is human. This is why I love these podcasts. Because when the dog needs to go out, he needs to go out. Okay.
I was tactically holding the camera then, so you couldn't see the mess behind me.
I showed you mine off camera. I won't do that. So, right, what's your top tips for anyone that's thinking of starting out in their own business?
So it has to be something that you're passionate about, that you love. That I think goes without saying. If you're not really interested in it, don't start it. It has to provide a service or support or something that people are willing to pay for. So it's got to be a need out there, like a need from the customer. So I think that's really important. And probably something I haven't highlighted to you. So we've spoken about me building Fiercely Fit. I've been super lucky that I've got an amazing team behind me. And when I say team, within Fiercely Fit itself, I've got members who are running choir for me, book club, netball, and all this is done voluntary. I'm not paying them. So I've been super lucky. Like the kick now, I've got one of my members, Emily, who is leading the kick and doing all the behind the scenes work, the majority of it, so I'm super grateful for. So you can't do it alone, even though this is Fiercely Fit with Gemma Pugh. It's not, it's much more than that. And yeah, it's realizing that you can't do it alone. So you do need that support.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's a massive thing there. And funny enough, just before we came on to record this, I was doing a coaching call and we were chatting in there about, it's like, you can't do it on your own. If it's not your zone of genius as well, delegate it out. Mm. Don't spend your energy wasting your own time and energy, which giving it to somebody else that loves doing that or is really good at doing something. And it's about finding that network, isn't it? I don't know, I'm asking of finding your tribe, but it's like finding that network of people that will not only support you, but will be able to grow themselves as well and taking those opportunities on. So yeah, I love that because you're right. You know, if you do it all, you'll end up burning out because you cannot do everything yourself. And I guess from, you know, you said there about you've also got a supportive family, you know, very, very lucky to be in that position. Even if you don't have that supportive family behind you and you're really still passionate and you really want to do something, then still do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because whatever you do, you've taken that step to do it and you can always bloody go back. You can always go back, right? You're not 100%. Going to go forward. You're always going to go forward.
But you can. And I think that's always been in the back of my mind that if it doesn't, what happens if it doesn't work out? I've had that question off lots of people. I go back to teaching. You know, I'm in a lucky situation there because I'm a Welsh speaking physicist and there's not many of them around. So I know without sounding, you know, that I would get a job.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can go back. And I think the fear is one of the biggest things, isn't it? That stops people. You know, I've had the loads of questions of what about your pension? That's another one.
Oh, God.
But it's like, I think during the lockdown time as well, I thought I could die tomorrow. So,
exactly.
You know, come on, let's do this. Now or never.
And lots of people don't have pensions. Lots of people are not in a position where they've been and had a corporate pension. My husband left police after 17 years, you know, and I was like, you know, I could support you whenever you want to do. And so many people said to him,
what about the pension?
Give a shit, right? Yeah. You're right there. Okay.
Life is too short.
We'll find other ways.
Yeah.
And let's just quickly touch on that fear, because it does come up for a lot of people. And not just when you're starting a business, but when you're growing and when you're thinking of maybe pivoting the business or changing or adding or, you know, taking something away, that fear kicks in.
Mm.
Have you had that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, fear is there to protect us, isn't it? It's back in the olden days when there was a saber-toothed tiger hanging around. Ah! The fear is good, right? Because you run.
Keeps you safe, yeah.
So your mind's always looking for worst case scenarios to protect you. And maybe being aware of that to start with helps is the first thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's just growing some balls sometimes, isn't it? Being like, do you know what? Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? So if I'm going to do this now, like what is the worst that can happen if I start physically fit? I try it, it fails, I go back to teaching.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also something to sort of reframe that as well is what can I gain from doing this?
Mm.
What can I gain? Rather than maybe what's, you
that's
know,
good.
What
I like
am I
that.
Not? Yeah. What can I?
What can I gain?
What can you gain from doing something? And did you know you were only born with two fears?
Oh, I did know this because I'm sure I've heard this in a quiz. Right. So there's only the fear of falling. Fears.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard this
Excellent,
somewhere. And
yeah.
The fear of starvation?
No. Oh. No. So, yeah, definitely. We're only born with two fears. One is fear of falling and the other is loud noises.
Oh.
Everything else is learnt behaviour. So when you're thinking about that fear kicking in, just remind yourself of those two things. And we've learned everything else so we can unlearn it. And we can choose not to be fearful. But as you said, fear does keep us safe. And I always say, just embrace it. Embrace it and think about what you can gain. I'm really conscious of the time because I knew I could just talk to you for forever.
I'm enjoying that.
I'm not going to stop. So we've done a bit of a top tip there. Just go for it anyway. I want to ask you though, Jam, now because you look after everyone else. How do you really look after you? When was the last time you did something for you?
Well, a friend of mine bought me this washer, I think, a face
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I booked in for next week. She's given it to me about 2 months ago. I booked in. So
amazing.
One thing.
Okay.
I do now. So one thing I couldn't do when I was teaching was go for brunch.
Oh, I love brunch.
I love going for brunch now. So once love a week, brunch. I make sure I go for brunch with someone, whether it's my husband or a friend.
Friend. Love
so
that.
I do that.
Okay.
And when I was teaching, I don't know why, but I was never into traveling ever. And I think because in school time, you can't, obviously, you can't go. And then it's so expensive in school holidays. Maybe that's why, I don't know. But now I want to travel all the time.
Amazing.
Rich has told me, stop, because I said last night, oh, I want to book somewhere. We've got some things lined up.
Do it. Well, and this is the reason, right? You've set up your own business to enjoy the adventures that you want to take on. Do you know what? If you want to look after yourself a bit more, book something for you. Go on your own somewhere.
Yeah.
I would love to.
My 40th year this year. Aww. So I need to do something, something crazy. Maybe I'll do that, go on holiday.
Do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do it. Do something for you every single day. Even if it's something really small, like 5-10 minutes, just sitting down, reading a book, whatever that looks like. Interesting though, right? So when you were in lockdown, you took time for yourself every day. Mm-hmm. Every day,
we went out
for our walk. We don't do it. No. We don't do it because we fill it with other things.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when you were taking those walks?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Life changing.
Life change. Okay. Right. I'm going to do some quick fire questions at you. So, just as I like to do this, coffee or tea?
Tea, 100%. Don't like coffee.
God, we
drink too much tea. I drink about 20 cups a day.
Oh, it's funny, I'm drinking tea for ages. Right, okay. Beach or snow?
Beach.
Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Cheese and onion. My kids hate it, but I'm cheese and onion.
I hate
salt and vinegar. Yeah.
Oh my God, sorry. Okay, sweets or chocolate?
Was it sweets or chocolate?
Yeah.
Chocolate.
And I know, obviously, we haven't touched on the sugar thing.
Oh.
So just very quickly, before I sign us off, there's this app which both of us use called Yuka, Y-U-K-A.
Okay.
It's incredible so both Gemma and I have, so I'm like, well, ham, right? Ham is one of these things. It's so convenient. Like, my girls love, like, it's just,
I'm in anything,
Oh God! And I give it to them. But this Yuka app—it's brilliant. You basically can scan any barcode, and it'll tell you if they've got added salt, if it's good, if it's poor, loads of additives.
So they're emulsifiers, preservatives,
all of the crap that comes in stuff. So if you don't take anything else away from this podcast, Yuka app—it's really good. Okay, so question I always ask all of my guests. Because food is life for me. I love food. What's your favourite cake, Jan?
For a cake?
Mm.
I'd say carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
I do like a carrot
cake. Nice.
And moist. It's got to be moist.
Oh, it's definitely got to be moist.
Yeah, and it's got to have that nice icing on top.
Oh, the icing on the top is the most important thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Carrot cake with moist and good ice cream. Okay. Yeah. Amazing. It's been wonderful to talk to you. And if people are interested in learning more about Gemma Poo, Fiercely Fit, anything about Kick, how and where can we find you?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram page called Fiercely Fit with Gemma Poo. I also offer, Helen, for your listeners who live away, virtual programs. We do 4 workouts a week online, live, or it's then on demand. So if they want to check that out, they can see that on my Instagram page. The website is www.fiercelyfit.co.uk. And we have a Facebook group called Gemma Poo. Fiercely Fit or Fiercely Fit with Gemma Poo, one way around or the other. Yeah.
Amazing. And actually, just on that, the online stuff,
you joined.
I know, because we talk about being outdoors, but obviously not everyone can join
outdoors all the time.
Yeah.
You're busy.
And not just a mum, if you've got this stuff going on. But actually, the other night, it was like 10 to 6, and James was away working. the twins were in, it was just the three of us, and I was like, I'm desperate, I need to do something. And I'm very much, I don't like doing things on my own, I like somebody to kind of guide me. And Gemma sent this message on the group saying, I'm starting in 10 minutes, lower body. And I was like, yes, I literally was brilliant. I was absolutely shattered. So there's that opportunity. If you all just sat down, you know, having that, shall I do something, shall I not? There's the opportunity. Half an hour. Felt amazing.
Yeah,
afterwards.
That is it.
Felt amazing.
Yeah, fab.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for being a guest today. Yeah, it's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. As always, my leaving message to you is remember to do the one thing that makes you feel fabulous. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review.